This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa ba'd. Continue with the attributes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Yesterday I talked about the first aspect of his worship within salah and invocation, and today I'm going to talk about his the way he recited Qur'an and the way he supplicated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the second aspect of his worship, sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام في الحديث الصحيح اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه. Recite the Qur'an, indeed on the day of judgment it will come, it will intercede for those who recited it and those who adhered by it. Ibn al-Qayyim fi Zad al-Ma'ad has a nice little paragraph of describing the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. He says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ القرآن قائما وقاعدا ومضطجعا ومتوضئا ومحدثا ولم يكن يمنعه من القراءة إلا الجنابة. He said, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام recited the Qur'an standing up, sitting down, lying down, with wudu, without it. The only thing that stopped him from reciting the Qur'an is if he had the hadith al-akbar, if he required ghusl. يقول وكان له حزب من القرآن لا يخل به. And he had a certain portion of Qur'an that he recited every day. He never ever missed it. And this is something he taught the Sahaba, alayhi salatu wasalam. You must have a hizb. Just like yesterday we talked about, you must have a wird of dhikr, of invocation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must have a hizb, a specific amount. It doesn't have to be a lot, but it has to be something. Even if it's as simple as one ayah or two. But you have to make sure every day you recite something of the Qur'an with the intention of ajr or the intention of contemplation or reflection, whatever your intention, doesn't matter. You can make whatever intention that you want. You can make five intentions altogether, a million, doesn't matter. But you have to have a hizb, a certain amount of Quran that you recite daily, because he always did this, alayhi salatu wasalam. قال وكان يقرأ القرآن ترتيلا لا هذا ولا عجلة. He used to recite slowly, and he wouldn't rush it. You can understand. وَكَانَ يَقْرَأُ قِرَاءَةً. This is what Umm Salama tells us in the hadith Imam Ahmad and Tirmidhi. وَكَانَ يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ قِرَاءَةً مُفَسَّرَةً حَرْفًا حَرْفًا. Recited in a way where it was clear, letter by letter. You can hear every letter from him, alayhi salatu wasalam, with full clarity. وَكَانَ يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ يُقَطِّعُهُ آيَةً آيَةً. And he would stop at each ayah. يَمُدُّ فِي الرَّحْمَانِ وَفِي الرَّحِيمِ. And he would do the mudud عليه الصلاة والسلام and clearly صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم. يقول في الحديث الصحيح عن جابر قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ القرآن في جوف الليل ولجوفه أزيز كأزيز المرجل. I came by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام once at night when he was reciting the Quran, and I could hear his chest had something called an aziz. Aziz means كأزيز المرجل. You know when you put water in a pot and just before it starts to boil, as it boils, it makes a sound. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, when he recited the Qur'an, he would be in such a state of khushu' that you could hear him holding himself down, عليه الصلاة والسلام, and something is fighting its way out and he's holding it down, عليه الصلاة والسلام, to clarify the words that he was reciting, صلى الله عليه وسلم. The hadith in the Sahih, عليه الصلاة والسلام, once called Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and he told him, تعالى, come and recite the Qur'an to me. فقال يا رسول الله أقرأه عليك وعليك أنزل. You want me to recite the Quran upon you? And the Quran was revealed to you. فقال اقرأ يا ابن مسعود. Read. So Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu began reciting the Quran. We don't know exactly where he began. We think he began in Surah An-Nisa. And he kept on reading. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام قد ألصق ركبتيه بركبتيه. So he's sitting عليه الصلاة والسلام on his knees and touching the knees of Ibn Mas'ud. Ibn Mas'ud is reciting the Quran to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. يقول حتى وصلت إلى قوله. Until I came in my recitation to the verse فكيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا. And how are you going? What are you going to do when we bring from each nation an example, their role model, and we bring you, as in Ya Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we bring you as the role model for these people. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam put his hand on the thigh of Ibn Mas'ud, as in, stop. يقول ابن مسعود فرفعت رأسي ونظرت في إذا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يبكي وقد أخضر لحيته. He's sitting there and he was in tears عليه الصلاة والسلام. He told him, enough. صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم. He used to love عليه الصلاة والسلام to engage the Sahaba in the Quran. And a really nice story is when He called Ubay ibn Ka'b. Ubay ibn Ka'b was one of the known Huffaz, one of the most renowned reciters of the Quran, historically among the Sahaba. So he called upon Ubay ibn Ka'b and he said, Ya Ubay, inna Allah anzala alayya al-laylata wa anifan ayatan min al-Quran amarani an uqri'akaha. He told me to recite it upon you. Allah gave me a verse of the Quran today and he asked me to recite it upon you. So Ubay ibn Ka'b qala, Ya Rasul Allah, asammani bismi. Did he call me by my name? Yes, he called you by your name. The Prophet ﷺ wants to recite the Quran to him, and Ubay was like, "Asamani bismi." Allah subhanahu wa taala called me by my name. فقال نعم فانصرف أبي يقول أنا الذي سماني ربي. He walked away saying, "I'm the one whom my Lord called me by my name." فناداه النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. He called him, "تعال." I didn't recite the verse to you. So recite to him, and it was Surah لم يكن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب ولا المشركين ومفكين حتى تأتيهم البينة. The Surah البينة. He asked him once, عليه الصلاة والسلام, Ubay ibn Ka'b, فقال يا أبي أي آية القرآن أعظم, which is the greatest verse in the Quran. فقال أبي يا رسول الله هي الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. فضرب صدري, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام hit me on my chest. فقال ليهنك العلم علم أبا المنذر. May your knowledge benefit you. May you find your knowledge beneficial and beautiful in your life, because he was knowledgeable, رضي الله عنه. There was a man by the name of Muawiyah ibn Muawiyah, a sahabi who accepted Islam a bit late. And every time he prayed, he would recite, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, like many of us today. But that's all he did. That's all he recited. He never recited anything else. Every time he would make the first raka'ah in Isha, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. The second raka'ah in Isha, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. And then same thing for Fajr, and then same thing for Maghrib. So someone told him, لَأَشْكُوَنَّكَ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. I'm going to tell the Prophet, what is this? So he goes to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and tells him, this is what he's doing. فقال تعال, why are you doing this? فقال أحبها فيها صفة الرحمن. I love it. It has the description of the Almighty. فقال حبك لها أدخلك الجنة. Your love for this will have you in Jannah, inshallah. If you want to do it, go ahead, but be like that guy. At least, if that should be the reason behind it. The Mushrikeen came to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, since we're talking about the surah. And the hadith of the Sahih, قال أنسب لنا ربك. It's very weird. The mushrikeen, the people of that age or that era, the only way someone would have any status is that you have to know their background. You have to know their lineage, their genealogy. Who's their grandfathers and forefathers? Who is it that in their family that they can be proud of? So they came to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and said, أنسب لنا ربك. Give us the genealogy of your Lord. Tell us who he's from, like what tribe he's from and whatnot. This is how they think. So Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام recited upon them, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. He recited upon them, عليه الصلاة والسلام, this verse. As he was not born, nor does he bear children, nor does he have anyone before him, nor anyone after him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would walk, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once by the house of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. Abu Musa was sitting in his backyard. He was reciting the Qur'an, and he was reciting it in a voice, and he had a beautiful voice. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would pause and stop. He would stand behind the wall listening to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari recite the Qur'an. And then the next morning he would see him, and he would say, Ya Aba Musa, ala innaka qad utita mizmaran min mazamiri ali Dawood. Indeed, you have been given one windpipe amongst the windpipes of Al Dawood. Dawood alayhi salam had a beautiful voice, to the point where يَا جِبَالُ أَوِّبِي مَعَهُ وَالطَّيْرِ, meaning not only did animals gather to listen to him, but the mountains would move in joy of his recitation, عليه السلام. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام told Abu Musa, you have a windpipe from the windpipes of Al Dawood. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّكَ تَسْمَعَ لَحَبَّرْتُهُ لَكَ تَحْبِيرًا. I said, no, it's not fair. I didn't know you were listening. If I knew you were listening, I would have done it way better than this. I have more than that. I have better than that, because he was hoping for more than one windpipe. رضي الله عنه وارضاه. يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الصحيح زينوا القرآن بأصواتكم. Beautify the Quran with your voices. في الحديث الآخر ليس منا من لم يتغنى بالقرآن. It's not one of us, the person who does not recite the Quran in a beautiful way, almost in a singing manner, meaning you're trying to make it, giving it a beautiful rhythm or tone. He would say, صلى الله عليه وسلم, خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. The best of you are those who learn the Quran and then proceed after that to teach it. Then he would say, أهل القرآن هم أهل الله وخاصته. The people of the Quran are the people of God, and they're his special group, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانَ إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ عِنْدَهُ النَّاسِ وَأَرَادُوا أَن يُغَادِرُوا. If there are people and they want to leave, أَمَّرَ عَلَيْهِمْ He would make sure there would be an Amir, someone who, a leader. No group will function without a leader. فَقَالَ أَيُّكُمْ أَكْثَرُ أَخْذًا لِلْقُرْآنِ Which of you know more of the Qur'an? فَكَانَ يَقُولُ لَهُ أَنْتَ أَمِيرُهُمْ You're their leader, if you know the more of the Qur'an. A man came to Sayyidina Umman Aisha radiallahu anha. فَقَالَتْ يَا أُمَّاهُ كَيْفَ كَانَ خُلُقُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ How was the... What was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like in terms of his ethics, his morals? فقالت ألا تقرأ القرآن? Don't you read the Quran? فقال بلى, of course I do. فقالت كان خلقه القرآن. His character was what was in the book of Allah subhanahu wa taala. The transition to his hadi and du'a alayhi salatu wasalam. I'll use the hadith in Ibn Hibban, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would make a beautiful du'a. I'm going to give you a few examples of some things he would say alayhi salatu in his du'a, in his supplication. Most of it you've heard before because we still use them today, but I want you to think about it from his aspect, alayhi salatu wasalam, as someone who's making this du'a personally. He would say, Allahumma inni abduk, wabnu abdik, wabnu amatik. Indeed, I am your servant, the son of your servant, male servant, the son of your female servant. Nasiyati biyadik, the control of my matters is in your hand. Maldun fiya hukmuk, whatever you command will occur upon me, nothing can stop it. عَدْلٌ فِيَّ قَضَاءُكْ Justice is anything that you decree upon me. It is fair, whatever it is that you decree upon me. أَسْأَلُكَ بِكُلِّ اسْمٍ هُوَ لَكَ I ask you by every name that you have. سَمَّيْتَ بِهِ نَفْسَكْ A name that you gave yourself. أَوْ عَلَّمْتَهُ أَحَدًا مِّنْ خَلْقِكْ Or a name that you taught to one of your creations. أَوْ أَنزَلْتَهُ فِي كِتَابِكْ Or a name that you descended and put and revealed in your book. أَوْ إِسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ Or a name that only you know about and you haven't shared with anyone. أَنْ تَجْعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ رَبِيعَ قَلْبِي To make the Qur'an the spring of my heart. وَنُورَ صَدْرِي And the enlightenment of what's in my chest. وَجَلَاءَ حُزْنِي Or حَزَنِي And the erasing or the deletion of all of my sorrow and pain. وَذَهَابَ هَمِّي وَغَمِّي And the elevation of my stress and my worries. يقول ما دعا عبد بهذا إلا أذهب الله همه. There's no servant that makes a dua with this, with the intention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieving his stress and his difficulty, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve his stress and relieve his difficulty. The hadith I narrated yesterday, in collection of Imam Ahmad, where after Uhud, Rafa' ibn Muhsin would say, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would say, استوي خلفي حتى أثني على ربي. Stand here behind me. I want to pray and I want to praise my Lord. So the Rafa'a would stand and the Prophet alayhi salatu would bring in his prayer. قَالَ فَاصْطَفَّ النَّاسُ خَلْفَهُ صُفُوفًا And then all the Sahaba came and joined and you had like five or six lines of people standing behind him alayhi salatu wasalam. And he would make a dua and the dua says, أَللَّهُمَّ لَكَ الْحَمْدُ كُلُّهُ Indeed, all praise is due to you. لَا قَابِضَ لِمَا بَسِطْ وَلَا بَاسِطَ لِمَا قَبَضْ Nothing can hold back that which you open and nothing can open that which you hold back. وَلَا مُقَرِّبَ لِمَا أَبَعَدْتَ وَلَا مُبْعِدَ لِمَا قَرَّبْتَ And anything you draw near, nothing can take it away. And anything that you push away, nothing can bring it near. وَلَا هَادِيَ لِمَا أَضْلَلْتَ وَلَا مُضِلَّ لِمَا هَدَيْتَ And anything that you guide, nothing can misguide it. And that which you misguide, nothing will guide it. وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتَ وَلَا مَانِعَ لِمَا أَعْطَيْتَ And that which you give, no one can take back. And that which you take back, no one can give. اللهم إني أسألك النعيم المقيم الذي لا يحول ولا يزول I ask you the ongoing everlasting pleasure that never changes and never runs out. أسألك الأمن يوم العيلة والأمن يوم الخوف I ask you to be safe on the day where we have nothing and on the day that we are all scared. اللهم حبب إلي الإيمان وزينه في قلبي وكره إلي الكفر والفسوق والعصيان وجعلنا من الراشدين He said, make iman beloved to me and make it adorned in my heart so I find it beautiful and make it unbeloved to me or something that I dislike to me disobedience and disbelief and make me amongst those who are rashideen those who find their way to the right path Allahumma أحينا مسلمين وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ وَأَلْحِقْنَا بِالصَّالِحِينَ غَيْرَ خَزَايَا وَلَا مَفْتُونِينَ This is what he would say, alayhi salatu wasalam. Allow you to live a Muslim, die a Muslim, and then add me on the Day of Judgment to those who are pious and in a state where I'm not humiliated and I have not lost my deen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith Imam Ahmad as well, he would say, alayhi salatu, Allahumma ana shaheedun annaka anta rabbu wahdaka la sharika lak. Wallah, I am witness that you are the Lord and there is no one but you. Allahumma ana shaheedun anna Muhammadan abduka wa rasulik. O Allah, I am the witness that Muhammad is your prophet and messenger. Allahumma ana shaheedun anna al-ibada kullahum ikhwa. O Allah, I am witness that all your servants are brothers and sisters. Allahumma ij'alni laka mukhlisan fi ahli wa mali. Make me someone who is sincere in the way I deal with my wealth and the way I deal with my family. Sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The beautiful hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal when he went to lead prayer, Salat al-Isha, and he took a long time, and there was a bit of a disagreement between him and one of the people who were doing it, to the point where he took so long that there's a man by the name of Sulaim, who's a farmer. This guy is doing Isha at 9:30, and it's 10:15, and he's still reading the first rak'ah. So he just does salam and goes pray Isha on his own and goes to sleep because he has to wake up at 4 in the morning and go and work. So they told him, by the way, this guy left prayer in the middle of it. So Mu'adh all got, self-righteous, God, I'm going to go tell the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Sulaim, on his way home, they told him, by the way, this is what he said. So he said, he's going to tell the Prophet on me, I'm going to go tell the Prophet on him. So they both go to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Mu'adh got there first, telling him this guy left. And then this man came to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Qala ya Rasulullah, yusalli indaka al-ashiyyata thumma ya'ti ilayna fayutil. He prays with you, Isha. We wait for him. He comes to pray imam with us. And then he takes forever to finish. We are people who have land and we have animals and we have to sleep. I can't do. The Prophet would get upset. He would say, Afatanun anta ya Mu'adh? You're someone who's going to bring fitna. That's what you do here. And then he would go on. And Sulaim now feels a little bit more, supported because the Prophet yelled at the imam not to do it anymore. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, wa inni. يعني لا أفقه دندنتك ودندنة معاذ. And I don't understand all the dandana in Arabic is when you're making noises that no one understands what they mean. So it's like, I don't understand the dandana that you make and the dandana of معاذ when you guys make dua. فضحك النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فقال فما تقول أنت? What is it that you say? فقال أقول اللهم أسألك الجنة وأعوذ بك من النار. I ask for Jannah and to be protected from the hellfire. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم يا هذا حولهما ندندن. Our dandana is around these two things. There's nothing else that we add to it. He was on the minbar صلى الله عليه وسلم one day, and an Arabi would walk into the masjid and start calling, يا رسول الله هلكت المواشي وانقطعت السبل ادعوا الله أن يسقينا. Everything is dying, the crops are dying, the animals are dying, there's a drought, ask Allah for dua. The hadith goes, وَلَيْسَ فِي السَّمَاءِ سَحَابٌ وَلَا قَزَعَةٌ. There's nothing in the sky. قَالَ فَوَقَفَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ وَهُوَ عَلَى الْمِنْبَرِ وَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ اسْقِنَا اللَّهُمَّ اسْقِنَا اللَّهُمَّ اسْقِنَا. قَالَ فَخَرَجَ مِنْ خَلْفِ جَبَلِ سَلْعٍ سَحَابَةٌ كَالتُّرْسِ. And then from behind the mountain of Sal' we saw this huge cloud come, and it was like a shield. It was so thick. It had this black color. قَالَ فَمَا زَالَتْ تُمْطِرُ عَلَيْنَا سَبْعَةَ أَيَّامٍ. For 7 days, it continued to rain upon us. قَالَ فَحَتَّى أَتَّتِ الْجُمْعَةُ الَّتِي بَعْدَهَا. And then the next Friday, he's on the minbar, and the man comes in. We don't know if it's the same man. Anas was asked, is it the same man who came in? He said, I don't know. I don't know the man to begin with. قَالَ فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ هَلَكَتِ الْمَوَاشِي وَانْقَطَعَتِ السُّبُلُ. Everything is dying and we have nowhere to go. فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اللَّهُمَّ حَوَالَيْنَا وَلَا عَلَيْنَا عَلَى مَنَابِتِ الشَّجَرِ وَعَلَى الضِّرَابِ وَعَلَى بُطُونِ الْأَوْدِيَةِ. Oh Allah, around us and not upon us. May it grant irrigation for other valleys and for other trees. And قَالَ فَخَرَجْنَا نَمْشِي فِي الشَّمْسِ. He walked out of the masjid and we were under the sun. Sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. He would say alayhi salatu wa sallam in a beautiful hadith that's narrated in more than one collection, Ahmad and Tirmidhi amongst them. قَالَ رُبَّ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ ذي طمرين مدفوع بالأبواب لو أقسم على الله لأبره. That how many are there in the world? أشعث أغبر. أشعث meaning his hair is all over the place. أغبر, he's covered in dirt. ذي طمرين, he only has two rags that he's wearing. مدفوع بالأبواب, he's pushed away from doors when he comes and stands asking for something. لو أقسم على الله, if he makes dua and says, oh Allah, I swear you must do this for me. لأبره الله, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see through what he wants. And he would teach alayhi salatu wasalam this four-word hadith. أطب مطعمك استجب دعوتك. Make sure you eat halal and then your da'wah will be accepted. Eat halal and your da'wah will come to you. You'll be someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the dua of. If not, then that's a whole different story. I'll end with the With the story of Al-Ta'if, as I think it's an appropriate way to talk about dua, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, after he walked out of Ta'if, he was broken that day. It broke him to a certain degree, it really did. After Khadija died and Abu Talib died, and Quraysh was, his own people were trying to assassinate him, trying to kill him. After 3 years of the boycott, and people were tired and hungry, and so he goes to Al-Ta'if hoping that maybe he can get some people who are reasonable to listen to what he has to say, and they mistreat him horrifically. He leaves Al-Ta'if as people stone him on the way out. He's bleeding from his feet and his head, alayhi salatu wasalam. He has Zayd ibn Haritha, who's his adopted son, watching all of this. He had a 17-year-old boy with him that's watching all of it. And he sat under this tree, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, in a moment of just true weakness. And then the dua he made on that day, some scholars will debate the authenticity of it, but I'm not aware of any alim that refuses it or does not accept the narration, just so I'm clear on it. He would say, Allahumma, إليك أشكو ضعف قوتي. Oh Allah, it's to you that I complain. I bring my complaint of my lack of strength to you. وقلة حيلتي, and my lack of options, and I don't know what to do next. وهواني على الناس, and the fact that people have no respect for me. أنت رب المستضعفين وأنت ربي. You are the Lord of all those who are weak, and you're my Lord. إلى من تكلني, who is it that you're going to leave my matters in the hands of? إلى قريب يتجهمني إلى عدو يتجهمني, to an enemy that's trying to kill me. أم إلى قريب ملكته أمري, or to a relative that controls me and does not give me the ability to do anything. إن لم يكن بك علي غضب فلا أبالي. As long as that you are not upset with me, as long as that you there's no غضب within you upon me, فلا أبالي, it doesn't matter to me. This is all fine as long as this is not a sign that you're upset with me. That's what I'm scared of. أعوذ بنور وجهك الذي أشرقت له الظلمات. I seek refuge in the light of your face that lit up the cosmos and the earth and every dark thing. وصلح عليه أمر الدنيا والآخرة. And all that is good in the dunya and akhirah is good because of it. لك العتبة حتى ترضى. العتبة is when someone reminds you of a mistake, but they're not upset with you. They're just sad that you did it. لك العتبة حتى ترضى. You can do that with me as much as you like. I don't mind. If my shortcomings are a reason for this, then go ahead and do itab for as long as you want. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بك. And there is no strength but in you. صلى الله عليه وسلم. When you listen to these أدعية and you hear him speak عليه الصلاة والسلام, it tells you, because the difference is that when we make dua, we're just reciting something we memorized. When he made dua, this is what he felt. This is the difference between the two. Like he actually, this is what he felt. This is what he thought. He was saying what was in his heart, alayhi salatu wasalam. By the way, this hadith is impossible that anyone would say this beside a prophet. These words, it's impossible that anyone could say these words if they weren't a prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abbas narrates that he said, قلت كنت عند خالتي ميمونة. Maymuna is one of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's wife, and it was his aunt. So he slept at her house one day, and the Prophet ﷺ was there. قال فقام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من الليل. He got up at night to pray. فقلت أصلي مع النبي عليه. So I'll pray with him. فقال فدعا. He made dua. فقال اللهم أنت نور السماوات والأرض ومن فيهن ولك الحمد. أنت قيوم السماوات والأرض ومن فيهن ولك الحمد. أنت رب السماوات والأرض ومن فيهن ولك الحمد. You are the light of the cosmos and the earth, and all praise is due to you. You're the Qayyum, you're the protector and provider for the cosmos and the earth, and praise is due to you. And you're the Lord of the cosmos and the earth, and all praise is due to you. Allahumma anta al-haqq, wa wa'aduka haqq, wa liqa'uka haqq, wal jannatu haqq, wal naru haqq, wal nabiyyuna haqq, wa muhammadun haqq, wa sa'atu haqq. And he would count, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 8 truths. You are the truth. Your promise is the truth. Meeting you is the truth. Jannah is the truth. Hellfire is the truth. All of your prophets are the truth. I am a truth of yours. And the day of judgment is your truth. Allahumma laka aslamt. To you I submit. Wa bika amant. And in you I believe. Wa alayka tawakkalt. And upon you I depend. Wa bika khasamt. And any dispute, it's through you. Wa ilayka hakamt. And I accept your judgment regardless of what it is. Allahumma ghafir li ma qaddamtu wa ma akhart. Forgive me for all I did before and all that I will do later. And these are examples of his dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think during these nights, it's a good thing to think about his adherence to the Quran, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his recitation of this book, his love for this book. It's his legacy, alayhi salatu wa sallam. His true legacy is the book there. He put in so much effort to make sure that we have it. He spent so much time. He taught so many people. He invested so much time with people to make sure that the book would come. That's his legacy, alayhi salatu. That's what he truly loved. That's what he recited. That's what he lived. That's what he practiced. Everything he said and did in his life, alayhi salatu, was just trying to practice that better. Just trying to explain to us how to understand it and how to interpret it and then how to actually implement it in our lives. So we need to treat it that way. And this is the month of the Qur'an. This is the month where the Qur'an leaves the shelves and enters another part of your life. Hopefully that it can continue later to be a part of your life in the future. And the part of dua, you know, added them together. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his ability to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what kept him going. What allowed him to continue to succeed. His ability to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ways that when we listen to him speak to Allah, we understand that there's more than just asking for things. It's a conversation. If he complains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Ya'qub did. When Ya'qub lost his son, and then lost his second son, and he lost his eyesight because he was so sad, they told him, stop crying over your sons. And he told them, leave me alone. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ I'm not complaining to you. I'm not coming to you with my complaints. I'm taking my complaints exclusively to Allah. And that's who you're supposed to take your complaints to. Complain to him subhanahu wa ta'ala, not about him. Be very careful. This is so important. You have difficulty, you complain to, you don't object, you complain to him subhanahu wa ta'ala, because life is life. There are things that are decreed, there's qadr that's going to continue. There's nothing personal about how things go through life. We're a part of this story. This part of the story is not going to be great. There's going to be ups and downs. Don't take things personally as if it's not about me or you or anybody. It just happens. And when you're in a difficult situation, complain to him subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he did sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would take all of his sorrow, all of his pain, to the one who will embrace it subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that was helpful. هذا هو حبيبكم صلوا عليه صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم سبحانك الله بحمدك شنو لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه جمعين جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم إن شاء الله. Yes, two things. Please, on your way out, just pick up food and take it with you. Whether it's yours or not, especially if you're a young single gentleman or living alone, just take food. Don't leave any food here if possible. And if you brought food in, please take it with you. We don't have the facilities to put all that food away, and it'll go rotten. And there's sin in doing that. So please take as much food as you can on your way out. And inshallah, Jum'ah will be 2:30. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.